Well, now that we're through with Thanksgiving, we're all focused on Christmas. We got our Christmas decorations up, and everyone's beginning to move in that direction. Excited about this holiday. But let me ask you, what are your plans for Christmas? Not necessarily what do you plan on doing, going somewhere, or having family in and so forth, but do you have a plan for really entering into this true spirit of Christmas? What is it that you will do so that when Christmas is over, come December 26, rather than being frazzled and worn out, you're spiritually refreshed and renewed? You know, a big part of our Christmas celebration is gift giving. And we're certainly involved in doing a lot of shopping and asking people what they want and so forth. And that's good and important. But what I want to do over the next few weeks is focus on four gifts that God has given to us in Christ, gifts which I believe if we carefully unwrap and embrace, I can renew us spiritually and can refresh us, which I think is what we want. It will enable us to actually enter into the true spirit of Christmas. Now, the four gifts I'm going to be talking about are, first of all, peace, joy, love, and hope. Those are words that you see plastered all over the community this time of year. Peace and joy, in particular, you see hanging on banners, you see Christmas cards, they're embedded in so many of our Christmas carols and so forth. So we see all these things, and yeah, we know all about them, but unfortunately, a lot of times, we don't really take the time to think about what those things mean, the significance of it, and how it can impact our lives. So that's what I want to do. And today we're going to start with the whole thing of peace, the gift of peace. I want us to sort of unwrap that, to think about what is this peace that we sing about, that we talk about so much. It was, turn it on here. A.W. Tozer said this, Christ came to bring peace, and we celebrate His coming by making peace impossible for 6 weeks of each year. He came to help the poor, and we heap gifts upon those who do not need them. Boy, I think he's got a great point there. So again, we end up a lot of times just frazzled by the whole Christmas celebration, everything that we have to do and so forth. So what we want to do is talk about this peace. What is this peace that God wants us to have? And we're going to start talking about the nature of this peace. You know, so many of the Christmas carols talk about peace. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. It came upon a midnight clear, glorious song of old. Angels bending near the earth to hear the harps of God. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men. So we sing about these things a lot. And, let there be peace on earth. You remember 1971, some of you will remember that, some of you weren't even born, but there was a commercial for Coke. You remember that, don't you? It was the Hilltop commercial, and you had these multicultural youth teens on this hilltop, and they were singing this song, and it became so popular that it became a song without reference to Coke. And so, basically, it goes like this. This is the chorus. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand and hear them echo through the hills for peace throughout the land. That's the song I hear. Let the world sing today. A song of peace that echoes on and never goes away. There's something, when we talk about peace on earth, we do many times refer, that's what we're talking about. We sing about peace on earth. That's sort of a mantra in our day. And what we've done is basically picked up on what the angels said as they were singing to the shepherds. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So what we've done is interpreted this to mean that the angels in heaven are looking down on earth and they're simply longing for peace on the earth. They're longing for the time when there will be no more wars and conflict and struggles. They're distraught somewhat by what they see happening on the international scene and even domestic scene and so forth. The angels are longing for peace. Well, that's not actually what it means. We want to believe that, and of course I think all of us would love to see the world come together and live in harmony and so forth, but that's not going to happen. In fact, there's a scholastic journal called the Personnel Journal, and it says this: in all of recorded history, 3,530 years, there have only been less than 8% of that time has been in peace. 286 years of peace, 3,530. There have been some 8,000 peace treaties that have been made and broken in all of history. Listen, the reality is we're not going to experience peace in this world until Jesus comes back. So that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, the King James Version, which is what you have right there, is actually based on a faulty translation. Or not necessarily a faulty translation, but it's not the best translation. There is one little letter in the alphabet, Greek alphabet, that changes things. The better translation would actually be like this. This is the Message Bible. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. NAS says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And NIV has this: on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And what you see there is that this peace is not for the whole world. This peace is actually for a particular subset of the world. It's for a particular group of people. There's a condition there. The condition is peace for those with whom God's favor rests, on whom God's favor rests, with whom he is pleased. So we're not talking about world peace. We're talking about peace on the individual level. That's what we're talking about. God wants us to experience peace, but again, not everyone is going to experience that. So, even Epictetus, who was a first century pagan, wrote this: while the emperor may get peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to get peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot get peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. Even in the first century, for 200 years, beginning in 27 BC, there was a peace in the world caused by the Romans. It was the Pax Romana. It was a period of peace, social order, and so forth. But Epictetus is basically saying, no, people long for something more than this outward peace. They want it on the individual level. They want it in their hearts. So we're gonna. So it's not just peace on earth that we're singing about. It's something different from that. And the first thing I want you to see is this: the nature of this peace is peace with God. It is peace with God. And we have a longing for this peace. In 1953, Billy Graham wrote a book, and some of you may have read it. It's simply called Peace with God. Peace with God. Billy Graham believed, even as I do, and hopefully many of you do, that one of the greatest longings of a person's heart is to be at peace with God. To know that God is not angry with you. To know that God is not going to hold your sins against you. And to know that you don't have to live under this cloud of guilt. You don't have to listen to this incessant condemnation from your conscience. People want to be at peace with God. They want that. They long for that. And yet, so often it's so elusive. How in the world do you experience that? I imagine there are folks even here today. They're living somewhat under a cloud of guilt because of something you've done in the past and you can't seem to shake it. You can't seem to get beyond this point of feeling like God is upset and angry with you because of what you've done. God wants us to be at peace with Him. How do you experience that? How do you experience that peace? Well, this goes along with what we've been looking at in the adult Christian growth class for the past couple of weeks. It really has to do with this doctrine of justification. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because we've been justified. Now, what does that mean? Well, to be justified simply means that God acquits us of wrongdoing and declares us to be righteous on the basis of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He not only forgives our sins, but He imputes to us or transfers to us the perfect record of Christ. And so that when God looks at us now, He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He accepts us on that basis. And it's because of that that we have peace with God. You say the thing that creates the barrier between us and God is our failure, our sin. It's our guilt. And God is angry with us because of our sin. But because of Jesus, when a person comes to this point in their life where they repent of their sin, willing to turn from it, willing to acknowledge their failures, but willing to put their trust in Jesus alone for their salvation, they're forgiven, past, present, and future, all their sins, and then God credits to our account the perfect life of Jesus. It's a judicial act on God's part. He views us as not guilty before Him, and we're accepted by Him wholly because of Christ. J.C. Ryle wrote, without justification, it is impossible to have real peace. Conscience forbids it. Sin is a mountain between a man and God. It must be taken away. The sense of guilt lies heavy on the heart and must be removed. Unpardoned sin will murder peace. The true Christian knows all this well. His peace arises from a consciousness of his sins being forgiven and his guilt being put away. He has peace with God because he is justified. Now, a question for you today is simply this. Are you at peace with God? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven, that you have been justified, that God views you as just before Him? Just and righteous because you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, you're going to miss out on Christmas and this wonderful gift that God has for you. I invite you to Christ, even today, that you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Well, there's not only peace with God, but there's peace of God. Peace of God. This is a piece that Paul talks about in Philippians 4, where he says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now the NIV has this, the peace of God, which transcends understanding. In other words, this is a peace that the world cannot wrap its mind around. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. It's not a peace that you experience when everything is smooth sailing. Anyone can have peace in times like that. This is a peace that is not in the absence of conflict, but rather when the storms of life come. The storms of life come. I remember when I was in high school, there was a friend of ours in the church, a family friend, and it was Christmas time, and the lady's husband was a OBGYN, and he flew to Ole Miss to pick up the son for Christmas, and on the way back, they ran into a mountain and both killed. And I can remember going up when I heard the news. I went up immediately, and the first thing she said to me, Tom, everything's okay. Everything's okay. She knew where they were. Yeah, she was saddened by it, but there was a peace there. It was the peace that Paul, even when he wrote the passage in Philippians 4, here he is writing from a Roman prison. It was the piece that Horatio Spafford, you may not know that name, he's the one that wrote the well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Spafford was an attorney in Chicago. He sent his wife and four daughters to England. He was going to join them later so they could have a respite, just a vacation and so forth. They were on this steamship in the middle of the Atlantic. Another ship hit them, the boat sunk, and his four daughters died, along with hundreds of others. His wife was one of 27 that were rescued and taken to England. And Horatio heard the news. He made his way to England, and as he was traveling, he wrote that hymn. He wrote it, and it goes like this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." That's a peace that transcends understanding. That's a peace that the world cannot and will never really understand. But that's the peace that God wants us to have. Now, that's a peace that a lot of times we don't experience. What we see today, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worship. In fact, I missed out on a lot of that peace last night for about 60 minutes during a ball game. I felt the irony there, knowing I'm preaching on peace, and here I am biting my nails off. For those who don't know, Joy and I went to Alabama. A lot of times we're anxious about things. We're anxious about the economy and work and health issues and so forth. There's so many things that will destroy that peace and trying to rob us of it. But this is what God wants us to have. How do you have that? How can you have peace in the storms of life when things aren't going well, when things just seem to be falling apart? How do you get peace? Well, it's from knowing this. It's knowing and believing that the God of the universe, the God that spoke the world into existence, that upholds all things by His power, is your Heavenly Father, who knows and loves you intimately in everything, every single thing that happens in your life, whether it's a sickness or whether it's an issue with money or a relationship. God has a purpose in it. He has a purpose in it. And we can rest in Him. That's why in 1 Peter 5 it says this: "Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you." That's pretty mind-boggling to think that the God of the universe actually cares about us individually. We don't get lost in the masses. God knows us individually and cares about us, and He says we can trust Him. That's why I think it's important. J. Oswald Sanders said this: "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of God." That's what it is. You know, so often when we become anxious and worried and upset and so forth, because we think we're all alone in this. We think that the world is just sort of falling apart. Our world is falling apart and no one's in control. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Satan wants us to believe that, so we'll fret and we'll be worried. But God said, "No, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I've got a plan. And I cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and are called according to His purpose." You know, one of the things as we talk about this present, this gift that God's given to us, one of the things I want you to understand here as well, as we talk about the source, it is God's presence. But at the same time, there is a root cause of this peace, and that is grace. Peace is actually a fruit of grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. It is undeserved favor of God. God gives us forgiveness. He gives us His fatherly love and care. He provides for all of our needs. He guides us. He enables us to do the things He calls us to do. God's grace is lavished upon us. I love that word used in Ephesians 1. He lavishes His grace on us. And when we experience that grace, then that's when we experience peace with God, and we also experience peace of God. That's why, as you read through the letters of Paul, invariably, what you're going to read near the beginning is this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and then he'll greet him, says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul understood this. Grace and peace go hand in hand. Peace is a byproduct of grace. If you experience grace, the more you experience that grace, the more that peace grows in your life. And so here's an interesting thing. As we experience this grace in our life, and as we experience this peace as a result, God intends for us not just to enjoy the gift that He's given to us, enjoy the peace, but what He wants us to do is be ambassadors of peace as well. God wants us to be an ambassador of peace. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, God intends for us to be a channel of grace. To be a channel of grace to others so that we can, in fact, be peacemakers even as God is. Remember the Beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God." Sons of God. In other words, we're going to be like our Father. Heavenly Father, He is the peacemaker. He is the great peacemaker. He gives His grace to us so that we can experience peace. And He says, I want to channel My grace through you so you too will be a peacemaker. In other words, you're going to treat folks as God has treated us. That's what He wants. Rather than giving people what they deserve or what we think they deserve, what we're going to do, we respond to them as God responded to us. We're going to give them that unconditional love. We're going to be patient with them. We're going to be long-suffering with them. We're going to be kind to them. No, they may not deserve it. But that's what God calls us to do. You know, Christmas time, typically, when you think of Christmas time, one of the things that comes to mind, things we enjoy most, time with family and friends. That is a big thing. And I'm looking forward to spending time with family after Christmas. But here's the thing. There are a lot of people today at Christmas time who are going to experience great sadness and loneliness because relationships have been broken. Important relationships. It could be a relationship with a spouse, relationship with parents, with children, with siblings, with a good friend. And you miss these folks so much. You really do miss them. But there's no way you're going to humble yourself and seek after them. You say, because they hurt you, they offended you. There was an offense there that created a root of bitterness and resentment, and you basically cut it off and said, basically, listen, if that's the way you're going to deal with me, then I'm through with you. So the relationship has been severed. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us like that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold a grudge against us and say, listen, I gave you a chance. Look what you did. I'm through with you. That's not what He does. Because grace is this. Grace is, you don't deserve this favor I'm showing to you, but I'm doing this because I love you anyway. And that is how God wants us to respond to others who have hurt us. You know, as we come this Christmas, as we think about this gift of peace, you know, I think everyone here needs to ask this important question. Am I at peace with folks? Let me just show you the importance of this. First of all, Romans 12 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, he's recognizing the fact that sometimes it's not possible because some folks just don't want to be reconciled. So he says, but you put forth the effort to do that. In Hebrews 12, it says this, pursue peace with all men, not just believers, all people. And the sanctification, or you can say holiness in the King James Version, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue it. And even a verse from Proverbs, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What I want you to see here is your relationships with other people are extremely important. And if there is that root of bitterness growing up, if there is that resentment, if there is that break, fracture in a relationship, it will hamstring you spiritually and keep you from experiencing God's best in your life. Today, there may be some folks here who are at odds with others, and it may be that you need to make a phone call today. You need to reach out to someone. You need to go visit someone. You need to have a sit down with someone. And you need to express forgiveness. And you need to be able to say, listen, I love you. I care about you. I care about this relationship. And you're going to do with other people what God has done for you. You're going to show grace. And in showing grace, you will be a peacemaker. So today, as we think about the gift and as we move through this season, peace on earth, peace on earth. You know, that song is true. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Yeah, it has to begin there. That's what God wants. So my question, are you at peace with God? Are you experiencing the peace of God? And thirdly, are you an ambassador of this peace as God channels His grace through you to others and others get to see what God has done for you? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have loved us when we were unlovely. You've cared about us. Father, thank you for a Savior that took the penalty of our sin, who paid the price, the infinite price that we could never pay, so that we could be made at peace with you. And Father, thank you that because you care about us so much, we can experience peace in our daily lives because we know we're important to you. And you care about everything that happens. And we can trust you, not just for salvation, but for every need in our lives. Lord, I pray that the grace that you've shown to us, that we would show to others, that we would indeed be channels of grace, that we would not allow a root of bitterness to grow up in our hearts, resentments, anger, so that we cut off people because of the offense they have brought caused us. Father, I pray that we would be peacemakers as much as possible. We would pursue it along with holiness. And Lord, as we pursue this, I pray that our relationships would be healed, restored. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for this precious gift that you've given to us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.